Have pen and paper ready for this exciting information. It's time for the Taking Notes podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort. This is about pen and paper, right?
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 152 of the Taking Notes podcast. My name is Bruce Elgort and I am here with
Julian Robichaud.
And today we continue our mobile discussions with who, Julian?
Well, we spoke with Graham Akers, and he is a business partner up in Vancouver, Canada. Not the Vancouver that Bruce lives in.
Yeah, you'll hear about that.
And he did a session at Lotusphere talking about kind of mobile application strategy and some considerations you need to have when doing mobile projects. And he talked to us today about that very subject. So we talked about some considerations you have to have when you're undergoing these mobile projects and a lot of the, not really war stories, but I guess the experiences that Graham had himself working on some of these types of projects and, you know, how you do the training and how you do the prototyping and how you decide what tools to use or how you go about the process of even sort of looking at your applications and saying, okay, we're going to mobilize this, but not that. Yep. So, you know, again, it wasn't really tool or vendor specific so much as we just talked about mobile application in general and how you approach it.
So let's have a listen to Graham Akers talk about all things mobile app dev strategy. I'd like to welcome Graham Akers to Taking Notes today. Graham, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Graham, who are you for those of our listeners who don't know, and what do you do?
I'm an IBM business partner. I'm located in Vancouver in Canada. And my focus primarily is in the notes application development world. I've been around since 1992, version 2.1. And currently, I'm working with my clients doing a lot of XPages work and some mobile work.
So, Graham, what made you come up with that session for Lotusphere 2012?
Well, it was based on the fact that I had done a project for one of my clients to build essentially a mobile interface on top of one of their Domino applications. And we thought like it would be a good idea to share some of the experiences that we had from doing that project, you know, to the larger Lotus community. And the session I thought went quite well.
You know, and I was going to ask this as my first question. You know, we're hearing a lot about mobile, obviously. It seems like mobile now is kind of an expected feature, right, with the consumerization of IT and a lot of companies adopting a bring-your-own-device strategy. So you want to talk a little bit about that and how that plays into, you know, creating, you know, internal enterprise projects for mobilizing, applications?
Yeah, I think the place to start, in fact, is to kind of consider when people talk about mobile strategy, what does that really mean? Because there's a variety of levels that you can come at it from. And, you know, one of the levels is certainly doing the project itself. And that's kind of the main focus of the presentation that I did at Lotusphere. But there's a whole additional level and it kind of steps up above the project level and talks more about a mobility strategy, if you will, which gets into things like mobile device management and governance and not necessarily anything to do with applications, but certainly how you're going to pool minutes and how you're going to manage devices. And like you touched on, bring your own device, whether organizations are even considering embracing that kind of an approach. So, you know, the main point of the conversation that we had at Lotusphere had to do with the experiences that we took from actually building an application. And really, you know, in terms of putting the presentation together, we found that there was a certain amount of blurring between sort of the larger, higher level mobility strategy and then the lower project level strategy. Because, you know, when you get to it, there are lots of questions that people will have in terms of taking on a project to build a mobile interface on top of any kind of an application. And, you know, a lot of the things that they have to consider are kind of, you know, new questions, things that they haven't ever had to consider before. So really what we wanted to share was what are the things that kind of tripped us up, or the questions that came along as we did the project, and just to share those as what people might want to think about as a first step in doing a project, learning from that whole experience, and then stepping back and saying, okay, this all contributes to the larger mobility strategy, then come at that from a high level, and then obviously come back and start building more applications.
So pretty much before you even start building the app, you have to decide what your focus is, I guess, in terms of the devices, or native versus web or something like that. How do you approach that from the application standpoint? I mean, how do you take a look at your applications and decide how those are going to fit into that strategy?
Yeah, absolutely. Very important question to ask. And the first question really is to say, what devices are we going to support? Is this a bring your own device world? And I think we can all agree that more and more organizations are turning to bring your own device. And in fact, in doing so, I won't say limiting, but certainly are taking steps that maybe mean have implications down the line. Certainly, what I mean by that is, how are you going to build your applications? And security is a big, big deal that I think not enough people are worrying about. But once you decide on are we just a BlackBerry shop? Are we just an Android shop? Are we going to let people bring whatever device they want? That immediately puts you in a position where you can say, all right, now we need to consider what tools we're going to use, or what approach we're going to use to build applications, whether they be, web apps or hybrid apps or native apps or what have you. So really the first question to answer is, what devices are we going to support?
Okay. So then in terms of toolkits and things like that, I guess you have to go through the whole discussion of, are you doing a web app? Are you doing something that's native? Are you doing some weird sort of hybrid? How do you get to that point of the decision?
Yeah, well, there's a variety of factors that play into that, and maybe one of them is skill set. So let's start though by saying, okay, so we're going to support any device. So we're in the bring your own device world. The bring your own device world almost immediately discounts building native applications, because of course native applications are designed to run on a specific platform. You can build a BlackBerry application, or you can build an iPhone application. If you want to support bring your own device and still build native applications, you have to build the same application, let's say, three times. Once for BlackBerry, once for iPhone, and once for Android, which means three completely separate development efforts. Mind you, the requirements are largely the same, but obviously the different APIs are going to implement certain specific features that you want to take advantage of for the different platforms differently. So you got to have the skill sets to build the native app separately. You got to have the teams and the time and the resources and so on. So that almost discounts native right away, which leaves you with building pure web apps. And certainly in the pure web apps world, you can take advantage of XPages and you can take advantage of HTML5. You can build hybrid apps, and this is where tools like AppCelerator come into play. The difference between a web app and a hybrid app is that the hybrid app essentially deploys as a native application onto the device, but really what you're doing is you're building a web app that gets wrapped into, it's called a wrapper, that turns into a native application that you install. Still essentially a web application. And then the other option, of course, is to build with a tool or something called a mobile enterprise application platform. And in the notes world, we're talking about the Team Studios and the Cryoses of the world. Really, once you kind of sit back and say, how are we going to, or what skill sets do we have? What resources do we have? How much time do we have? All of those typical normal questions that any IT shop is going to consider when they're looking at building an application. That's going to point you in the direction that you want to go. One of the things that I was really encouraged with coming out of Lotusphere 2012 was the new support within XPages for mobile applications. They've done a lot of work that's really quite cool that I would like to be able to have the chance to start to play with here real soon, so that we can build web apps in XPages for mobile devices that have all of that look and feel stuff taken care of for. So that's another option too.
So I talk to a lot of people on a daily basis. In fact, I asked a couple of people this morning if any of their customers were asking about mobile app dev, and the typical answer I got was around 10%. To me, that seems lower than I thought it would be, especially with everyone having smartphones. So what is the reality, Graham, of mobile app dev in the enterprise? I mean, are people starting to take on a little project here to learn more about, say, the Xpages mobile controls? Are they going with the Meep products, as you said before, the mobile enterprise application products, or what?
I think your number 10% is probably a good answer. And again, to be clear, that's organizations that are actually doing those projects. Lots of people are talking about them. Lots of people are asking about them, and they're asking exactly these questions. What's the right way to build an application? And the unfortunate part is, the answer is it depends, right? Because of all the approaches that you can take, there really is no one killer approach. It really comes down to what are the applications going to do that you want to build? How do you need to have offlining? Is security concern? Do you have the infrastructure in place? All those kinds of questions. I've got some colleagues in Eastern Canada who swear up and down that the web approach is right for them. And I said, well, you're not wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. And in fact, saw a demo of some of the stuff that they've built that was pretty cool. But it was built traditional, old school web app, domino world kind of approach. Works just fine. But anyways, getting back to your question, I think lots of people are investigating what the different approaches are, what's out there that they can use, and if anything, starting to dabble in one or the other, but maybe don't necessarily have a corporate endorsement to do a project, to have all the things that you want to have in terms of resources and support and a champion and those kinds of things. So it's more that IT departments are looking, going, we know this is coming, and we want to get out, try and get ahead of the curve, even though, like you say, smartphones have been around for some time and they're changing so fast. That's one of the other problems that maybe people are running into is, and it's certainly one that I ran into in the middle of the project that we did last year. It was a BlackBerry-specific project, and BlackBerry released OS 7 and a bunch of new devices right in the middle of the project. So you're standing back, and it's even worse if you're an Android shop, because, of course, there's multiple different versions of their operating system, and the different phone vendors may or may not support the most recent version of the operating system. So there's all of these things. Mobility is moving so fast that it's really a challenge right now to sort of put a stake in the ground and say, this is what we're going to try. I certainly would encourage people listening to the podcast that they want to take that first step. And maybe the easiest first step is to build a web app, whether that's in the Notes world, whether that's a native Domino application, a traditional Domino application, or whether that's an Xpages app, but give it a try and dip your toe into the pond, as it were, and just start learning about it, because it is coming fast and it is moving fast.
So, assuming that you've kind of gone through the steps, you found your tool set, you've got your application mobilized, and you're ready to kind of start rolling it out, how do you deal with the issue of training? Because, on a traditional desktop app, it's not the developers and people who write products tend to be great about documenting the applications, but at least you have, a lot of times some steps and some screenshots, maybe a PDF of how to get going with an application. Whereas with a mobile app, you just kind of tell people to go to a website or get an application download to their device, and then they just kind of go with it. How do you deal with training the users on how to use this stuff?
Yeah, if you that's a wonderful question, Julian. If you think of let's pick on Apple, for example. I've got two teenage daughters who've had iPod touches for several years, and they've been able to download any application that they want for free and just start using it. And so certainly the younger generation is kind of just in tune with, oh, I'm going to install it and see what it does and try it out. Certainly from my experience, we actually did do the screenshot thing and create a PDF and distribute it. But it kind of comes back to the context of mobile. And this was something that recurred several times as we went through our project. One of the key things to think about when you're even just building the application is, and maybe this is the wrong way to put it, but how much patience will people have for the amount of time that they want to spend on a particular screen? When we were sitting down with the business users and talking about the functionality that we wanted to put into the application, that their first answer to me when I said, okay, what do we want this thing to do? They said, well, everything that we can do with the Notes client. And I really had to take some time to step back and remind them of how big the screen was and how much information we actually had on the Notes client application and how much scrolling they would be doing on the screen. So we really took a lot of time to really narrow down, what was the key functionality that application would perform and the information that it would provide. Generally, what people are finding in terms of building applications for mobile devices is that about 30 seconds is kind of the limit for the amount of time that somebody is interested or willing to spend on a screen. And that just lends itself from, what are we all comfortable doing with our smartphones, whether that's playing a song or checking an email or scheduling an appointment or whatever it happens to be. So from a training standpoint, it certainly needs to be intuitive. In my experience, we did take screenshots of all of the screens, put it into a document, PDF'd it, and sent it off to folks. And yet, having done all of that, I still got questions. The help desk still got questions about, am I installing the right application here? But ultimately, I think if you spend the time on your application design and really think a lot about what's the specific functionality that needs to be available on this screen, and really do a good job of separating the kinds of functionality that you would have, whether it's a Notes client or whether it's a browser, and the amount of time people are willing to spend when they're sitting in front of a workstation as opposed to sitting in front of a mobile device, even a tablet, narrow it right down so that it's easy and intuitive, that will lend itself well from a training standpoint. Because one of the things that we did do with the folks when we were doing the training on this application was did have some face-to-face sessions, but they were very brief, kind of answered some key questions. The functionality that was available on the mobile app was reasonably limited. I mean, it did what the business users, what the business team needed it to do. But like I say, we spent a lot of time up front really narrowing down what it was that the application would do so that people could get in, get out quickly, and yet still do what they needed to do.
So kind of a related question then is, as you were talking about the process of going through and deciding which parts of the app really need to be mobilized and getting these 30-second screens and stuff like that, how did you prototype? How did you kind of you start talking about getting that functionality in place before you even wrote the screens or did the programs?
A good question, and I think I had what might not be considered a typical experience, but maybe it was. We had quite an engaged business team in terms of support for building the mobile application. But when it came time to sit down and actually do it and talk about requirements and whatnot, we had a group of folks that kind of, flew in from a few different spots, sat down for the meeting, had a whole lot of other stuff on their mind and really didn't give us the amount of time that we were looking for. So I managed to speak to a few key points as we were going through the conversation, but ultimately was asked to write the use cases and provide them back to the business team for review. So we actually got lucky and had the kind of the luxury of being able to say, well, this is what we think the application should do. Do you agree or not? And for the most part, it was endorsed. We actually had one additional use case added after the fact. From a prototyping standpoint, yes, you're right. We built some wireframes, shared them with the folks. And the good news was, in this particular case anyway, the team that we were working with was the same team that we worked with to come up with the Notes application in the first place. So they were already completely familiar with the functionality. But like I say, when I asked the question the first time, they said, well, we want everything that we've got in the Notes app. And so it was a matter of sitting down. What I actually did, I told them all to pull out their phones. I said, get your smartphone in your hand. And I said, okay, think about this field and think about this field. There were a couple of specific pieces of functionality that they'd asked for in the Notes client. And I said, think about how long it will take for you to scroll from the top of that field to the bottom of that field. Again, it was a BlackBerry environment, so generally the screen sizes were all about the same. And it didn't take too long for them to understand that we weren't going to be able to put all of that functionality together. So once we got over that hump, had a few other conversations about functionality, and really what I said was, okay, let's get basic. And the other thing that was really important was to say, who are the main people that are going to be using this application? And as it turned out, in this case, it was folks that don't normally sit at their desk. So what we really had some luck with was saying, okay, so the folks that sit at their desk, they can have all the full features and functionality, and they're not going to be using their BlackBerry to interface with the application. So the people that aren't at their desk, well, what are they doing during the day? And as it turns out, these were kind of people that were really busy. The client that I have is a shipping company. So these were people in the transportation group that were managing getting trucks loaded and what have you. We're really making sure that was running efficiently. It didn't have time to come back to their desk. So if they were already busy during the day, how much time were they going to have to spend in front of the application? They were going to get a notice in their email, be able to open it up, read what the issue was, be able to respond to the issue. This is a customer service application, and get out again, like I say, within 30 seconds. So once we were able to sort of make them understand that the screen was a whole heck of a lot smaller than they were comfortable using or used to using Notes client or browser. And then secondly, say, who are the people that are really going to be using the application and what's the luxury of time that they have? And as it turned out, it was quite limited. Then we were able to get moving quite quickly, actually.
So one other, I guess, sort of maybe a personal experience you might have had in terms of dealing with the application outside the firewall. I know that's kind of an issue that I've had in terms of talking to people about access to applications, because usually with a Notes client, you're either inside the firewall, you're at work, you're sitting at your desk, or you're on a VPN. And with mobile applications, you're suddenly in a situation where a lot of times the mobile device is not connected to the corporate network. It's just on whatever network it happens to be on. Did you have to deal with any of that in terms of either user expectations or actually reconfiguring the application?
We were lucky. No, we didn't have to deal with that. The interface that we built was straight back to the Domino server, so all of the data remained on the Domino server. But it's an excellent question, because from a larger viewpoint, certainly, I've had conversations with colleagues who are talking about building business intelligence solutions that are going to run on mobile devices. So not only are you talking about security, but you're also talking about bandwidth, availability of the network and all of that kind of stuff. So, if you're building a business intelligence application and that BI data is going to remain on the device, that's a big, big deal from a security standpoint. So even simple things like, is the device locked or not? So if you get into a bring your own device scenario, that's a person's personal device. Does the company have the ability to say, okay, if you're going to use your personal device, you need to make sure that it's locked? Which should be a no-brainer, but I know that that's maybe even something that people haven't considered. Statistics that I've seen say that 1 in 5 people actually lock their mobile device. So if a device isn't locked, you've potentially got business intelligence data on that device and it gets lost. Just think of the ramifications of something like that. A former employer of mine went through a court case in the East where a laptop had customer information on it. And the settlement in court was 9 figures. So you very quickly can see that if somebody's standing up there saying, hey, I got this really great iPad for Christmas and I want to be able to, can we port our business intelligence application onto this iPad? Don't be standing up saying, yeah, hey, wow, that sounds really cool. Let's give that a go. Before you answer the question, okay, like you say, you're outside your firewall. What are the implications of whether that device gets lost? Is it locked? How easy is it to break if it does get lost and the device is locked? All those kinds of questions are really, really key. And I have to think, you know, getting back to the bring your own device, you know, corporate executives who are walking in with their new iPad saying, hey, I want to get this, I want to get my email on my iPad, and naturally the conversation will flow from there. I got to think that it wouldn't take too much to have a conversation with that person to say, do you really understand what the security implications are of what we're trying to do here? Mm-hmm. You know, so very, very key question. Absolutely.
Graham, are business people in a reality distortion field when it comes to mobilizing enterprise apps? I mean, when I worked in corporate IT, you know, sales guys and marketing and everyone, they didn't really care. They just wanted it done, and they weren't willing to invest the time to, you know, craft what they thought would be the requirements, say, for a mobile app. Yeah. Is there a big divide really still between, you know, all these great consumer apps that we run on our iPhone and these access to corporate data via mobile device?
Yeah, that's a rhetorical question, right? There is no question that there is a disconnect, and in fact, it's becoming larger, because let's remember that the young people coming into the workforce don't know any different. They've had their iPhone for years. They've been able to do anything that they've ever wanted to do on their iPhone, and now they're coming into a job and saying, what do you mean I can't do this, and what do you mean I can't do that? Never having had to consider what the security implications are of any kind of mobilization of corporate applications. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but are kids really walking into companies saying that? I mean, it's just like, I have a hard time with it. I mean, personally, I know the younger digital native generation, you know, expects a lot of things, but you're working in a corporation at which has rules and regulations, you know, whether it be SOX or JSOX or any of these other things. And do they really demand these type of things? I mean, I we're a little off topic, but, you know.
No, that's fair. In fact, you do raise a very good point. And you're making me think back to when I started working. You know, I certainly wouldn't be making any of those kinds of demands. But think of it this way. In an economy where potentially companies are scrambling to find, you know, new workers, and those new workers are realizing that they have a choice between company A and company B, and if they can determine whether one of those companies embraces mobile more than the other, then that's something that they can use to make their decision on where they want to work. Now, that shouldn't be something that would hamstring a company from being able to hire people, but what it certainly speaks to is having some kind of a corporate policy that definitely addresses the use of mobile technology, you know, even from a standpoint of, you know, we're going to allow you to use your phone or not. And if we do allow you to use your phone, here's what the expectations that we have, you know, things like is geotagging on photos turned on or turned off, because we don't necessarily want you uploading photos that you're taking on a corporate device or a shared device that are identifying where you were taking that picture from, those kinds of crazy things. Mm-hmm. So no, I would agree with you. The young people certainly aren't making those demands, but if they have a choice and they're smart enough to look and say, you know, does one company or another company embrace mobile, or how do they use mobile, then that's going to factor into their decision of where they want to work.
Yeah, I totally agree. So wrapping things up a bit, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, some of the best practices that, you know, companies should think about before they think about mobile, you know, deploying mobile data, developing mobile apps. What are three things you would send each Taking Notes listener away with when it's time for them to consider mobile?
Well, a quick tip, and this is just a simple thing, but the first one that jumps to mind is, from a training standpoint, getting back to what we were talking about earlier with Julian, is teach people how to take screenshots. That's not a difficult thing to do, but just make sure that it's top of mind. So, you know, typically we've all had some experience with help desks in the past, and it's always easier to have a picture of what's going on. And, you know, so on your mobile device, whether that's, you know, a tool that I know most mobile phones now are coming with free screenshot applications. But if you've got people that don't have those, you know, you can buy them for 99 cents. Get people comfortable with the idea of, oh, I got some problem on my phone. OK, take a quick screenshot and include that in what gets sent to the help desk. So my second thought would be then, you know, pick something that you want to use to build, and certainly the web is the easiest first step there. And just keep in mind that just like we have to support different browsers on a desktop, we got to support different browsers on mobile phones. So as much as it's the easiest first step, it's just something to keep your eyes open to. And maybe the third thing that I would say is from a take the first step standpoint, keep it simple. You know, pick an application that provides some business value but doesn't have a lot of complexity to it, and just use that in your experience to just sort of, you know, what are all of the challenges that you run into? Was it easy? Was it not so easy? Would we take a different approach next time? Maybe if I'll add a fourth, I would say read whatever you can. I mean, again, like I said earlier, the mobility world is moving quite quickly. Things are changing, but just try and educate yourself. I know certainly in the Domino world, John Wargo wrote a bunch of articles in The View last year that were all excellent, and they provide a really good cross-section of the different things that are available, different tools and approaches that are available in the Domino world. So education would be another one.
Mm-hmm. And I had met John Wargo at a View conference back in June, one that Julian and I actually spoke at, and he opened my eyes to things like Meeps that I wasn't familiar with. There are these multi-million-dollar Meeps out there that I never knew existed, you know, to do app development, to deploy to all these different platforms. You know, I knew of the Appcelerators and, you know, the phone gaps and stuff like that. Just to focus on Domino for a minute, right? We have ways that people can get started today, right? Very easily. We have the OpenNTF mobile controls. We have Team Studio Unplugged that we spoke about on the last podcast. We have Cryos App Extender, which is another product that can help you mobilize your Domino apps. We have UATnotes in Germany has Domino to go. And there's a couple other things. But have you ever worked with any of those, Graham?
Yeah, I actually have a relationship with the folks at Cryos and have used their tools in the past. And the one thing I can say about App Extender is that you don't actually need to have any mobile development experience to be able to take advantage of their tools. It's all the traditional Lotus Notes experience that you have for building basic notes applications. That ports directly. They take care of all of that in terms of turning it to XML and turning it into a native application and deploying it. And actually, the last week's podcast about Team Studio, I thought was very intriguing. They've taken a completely different approach, but certainly nothing wrong with a different approach. And it's something else that I'd like to get my hands on. And the other one too, like I said before, coming out of Lotusphere is just the native X Pages controls that are in the they're actually in 8.5.3 upgrade pack 1 now to be able to build mobile tools that way too. I'm looking forward to trying that out.
Well, and I was going to say that I think that that's just one of the it's both a challenge and an opportunity, I guess, in terms of building mobile applications, that there are so many different ways that you can approach the problem. That, you know, there's all these different toolkits and all these different possible, I guess, approaches that you can take and things like that. So I think a lot of the stuff that you talked about today on the podcast is general enough to where you take that with you regardless of the approach that you take. But at the same time, you know, at some point you have to sit down, decide in a toolkit, and that's just going to be different for different situations.
Completely agree, yes.
So, Bruce, anything else we need to discuss before we wrap it up?
No, I'd really be interested in hearing from the Taking Notes listeners about, you know, what they're doing with mobile. You know, I see a lot of mobile work outside of the enterprise, right, with, you know, iOS dev. I've talked to a lot of people, like I mentioned earlier, about what they're doing in the enterprise or what they're seeing and being asked to do by their customers, and I mentioned before the 10%. I think it's a lot like social. You know, it's everyone wants to have it, but it's hard to really make it happen to meet the expectations based on the consumer products that a lot of people use. So I know I rambled on there a little bit, but it's mobile's not easy, social's not easy, especially within the context of the enterprise. I don't know if you guys agree, but
the only thing I would add is, and it's the same with social, pick something small and give it a try.
Yeah, I think that's great advice.
Yeah.
Okay, Julian, how about you? Anything else for Graham?
No, I don't think so. Graham, are you going to go to any of the LUG events this year?
I'm actually looking forward to getting to some of them. I did MW LUG last year. Yeah. And it's funny you ask, because just earlier this week I was making my list of all the different LUGs and deciding which one or two I might try and get out to. So yeah, I'll be making the circuit. At least one I plan to be at this summer.
Okay, great. Well, hopefully I'll see you at one or more of those. I know that I'm kind of making the same schedule myself.
Looking forward to it.
And I do want to add one point of fact here, and that is I'm based in the original Vancouver, Washington. And Graham,
oh, let's get into it.
And Graham is located in the copycat city called Vancouver, British Columbia.
We have this debate every time we talk.
No, actually, we call it Vancouver, USA here. I don't know why. It's just, you know, because everyone knows the difference between, you know, our city and your city, how much more beautiful your city is than ours. But
oh, well, now you're just being nice.
I know, and I hope I never have to run for local office or anything. All right. Well, that's a wrap for episode 152 of Taking Notes. Graham Akers, thank you very much for talking about all things mobile with us. And if people want to follow you on Twitter, do you have one of those things?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at gacres99. That's gacres99.
All right. Talk to everyone real soon. And Graham, thanks again.
Thank you.